Well, today is March 1st, 2012. My name is Melissa Burlock, and I'm a public history graduate student at IUPUI. I will be interviewing Mr. John Lance about his executive directorship of the Fall Creek Parkway YMCA between 1971 and 1979. Fall Creek opened in 1959 at the intersection of 10th Street and Indiana Avenue in Indianapolis. Also present in the room is Dr. Philip Scarpino, who is a professor of history and the director of the public history program at IUPUI. He's the supervisor of this project, and he will also ask some questions over the course of the interview. The Fall Creek branch was preceded by the Senate Avenue YMCA, which functioned as Indianapolis's model African-American YMCA between 1913 and 1959. Fall Creek was purposed to continue the legacy of Senate Avenue through also serving as a center for solidarity and community service. The branch closed in 2003 amid intense controversy concerning changing demographics, decreased membership revenue, and different understandings of how a YMCA should serve the Black community. Center Township purchased the building in 2004 and reopened it as Center Township Healthplex. The Fitness Center closed in 2009. The building was demolished in 2010 to build the Avenue, which is a retail residential space for IUPUI students and medical employees. So Mr. Lance, I would like to ask your permission to do three things. One would be to record this interview. Two, to have the interview transcribed if we have the budget to do so. And three, to place the recording and the transcription in the IUPUI archives and special collections and the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis, where they may be used by a variety of researchers and other interested parties. So do we have your permission to do all three of these things?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. So in your first session, we discussed your background and your work as head of Our Place, which was a community service agency, which was at 600 Indiana Avenue. And we've also agreed to record another interview, another session in which we will address your role in and perspective on a range of issues that affected the African-American community in Indianapolis during the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But for the next 2 hours, for this interview, we're just going to be concentrating on your work as executive director of Fall Creek from 1971 to 1979. So I'm specifically interested in four aspects of Fall Creek's story. One is programming. So just four aspects I want to look at over the course of the interview. One being the programming that you facilitated at Fall Creek while you were its executive director. Two, the funding that really supported your efforts at Fall Creek, or the funding that you brought in. Three, the branch's affiliation with the Metropolitan YMCA downtown. Thanks for writing these down. Thank you. And number four would be your separation from the YMCA. I would like to just quickly talk about that with you. So I'm just going to start by asking some questions about why you agreed to become executive director of Fall Creek. So in a letter addressed to you dated August 25th, 1971, the Fall Creek YMCA chairman at the time, whose name was Theodore D. Wilson, said that he was, quote, prepared to heartily recommend your appointment to the Board of Management, close quote, due to your leadership ideals and charismatic rapport with residents in the surrounding community. So why did you decide to accept this appointment? I know that Wilson really thought you were the perfect person to take over Fall Creek. So why did you decide that you wanted to, be executive director?
Well, let me start by saying this. When I heard they were going to knock down Fall Creek, I was wondering why more African Americans were not interested in the fact that it was being knocked down, especially because of the role it played within the community. I spent a lot of time trying to get people to talk about it. I talked to some newspapers, and et cetera, but nobody was really interested in why it was being knocked down.
This is in 2010,
yes,
before it got demolished.
And I really had problems with that, but there was a lady who worked at the Star. She she had one of her reporters talk to me about the knocking down the Y. And of course, he just asked me one question. You know, what did I think about them demolishing them? the building,
right.
Which was, you know, I gave a little something. But then what happened is when I found out that IUPUI was interested in, you know, why it was closing, I was really apprehensive about talking to IUPUI about that.
We're going to talk about that, like, yeah, later on, like this closing.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, I'm just right. saying that I want right. to get this on the record
okay,
because the fact that there was, I could get in touch with nobody
right.
about talking about why the facility was closed,
right.
and I was very happy, you know, that I was asked about, you know, interviewing for this. But I was apprehensive, and to tell you the truth, I'm still apprehensive, because I don't know, I couldn't understand why IUPUI would be interested in the history of it, and you know, the black community wasn't,
right.
you know. So I, you know, in my dealings with, you know, with white people, I just was curious, and I, you know, as to why, you know, why they were interested, and I was hoping that, I mean, I'm used to, you know, people talking to white folks, and, you know, they select part of whatever it is that you say to put on the air, you know, to project whatever it is that they want to do, and I was primarily talking about the book that they wrote at IUPUI, you know, that the
Price
of Progress,
mm-hmm.
which they interviewed a bunch of people.
Right.
Then they selected people who mm-hmm. portrayed their concept, and that's what they put right. in the book, which is a sham. I was
right.
hoping that this didn't happen, you know, with this. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, well, even now, that I'm a little leery, but
right. Well, that's why we're talking
yeah.
to you, because you're the right
yeah.
person.
To answer
yeah.
your question,
right.
yeah,
yeah,
but I just want to make sure that
right.
that there's no little snippets
right.
of what I say.
I understand.
You know, that,
right.
so, you know, that
right.
people really understand what the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
You asked me why did they select
right.
me?
Yeah, or why did you decide? I know, because they thought you were...
Well, let me say this.
Yeah, right.
And this probably surprised a few people. I lived at the Y when I first come to this town.
Okay.
In 1963, right. which was about 4 years mm-hmm. after it was built,
right.
the
mm-hmm.
Fall Creek YMCA.
Right.
And I lived at the Y at the height of its, I mean, that was the height of its mm-hmm. operation. Matter of fact, I lived on the
right.
second floor, which was the women's floor,
okay.
because they
yeah.
didn't have any room
mm-hmm.
on the men's floor. I
right.
mean, it was, you know, it was packed.
That packed.
And there was a whole lot of activity that was going on at that time, you know. Matter of fact, that's where I learned how to play bridge. I learned how to play chess.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was,
yeah.
I mean, it was really top of the line. It seemed the place where black
right.
folks went.
Right.
They had a student, a black student thing there, you know, where a lot of students lived there, and there were parties, there was all kinds
right.
of activities going on.
Right.
I mean, the cafeteria was right. was beautiful. I mean, you know, it was always
right.
packed,
right.
you know, and, you know, at noontime, that's where people came.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, in the
right.
the room there, you know, they played table tennis.
Oh.
I mean, it would be packed.
Right.
I mean, it would be packed. Matter of fact, they ended up having a national table tennis tournament there, which I got a chance to play in.
Right.
I played against at the time, this gentleman was Dal Jum Lee. He was the world champion.
Was
in table tennis.
First name again?
Dal Jum Lee.
Dal Jum.
Yeah,
Lee.
He was Korean, you know.
Yeah.
And so I had the opportunity to play in that tournament, you know, which was, and my coming back, even when I left, and I would come back, I would always go to the Y because that was the place to go.
Right.
But I watched the Y deteriorate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was here in town, slowly watching the Y deteriorate from what it was mm-hmm. to what it eventually became. Mm-hmm. And to give you an example, I mean, it was kind of very middle class, to put it mildly.
Okay.
Matter of fact, they had, the last time I real big activity that I know of they had there was the Mayor's Soul Breakfast.
Okay.
And that was for the 500.
Mm-hmm.
The black folks got together and had a soul breakfast, well, soul dinner for the mayor.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I saw Mayor Luger eating chitlins.
Mayor Luger, yeah. Okay.
So,
right.
But what happened is, mm-hmm. is that some of us at our place were, you know, we had been out playing basketball.
Right.
We came and we didn't know about the soul breakfast, or soul
right.
dinner, so we came in. Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking about some of the activities that they
right.
had there.
Yeah,
you know, they, you know, so we saw all these people that they told us what the deal was. So we asked them if we could go in, you know, to the thing. And they said, well, we'd have no tickets.
Right.
So, but we eventually went in. And that was the last big activity that I saw that
really?
Happened. Yeah,
happened
I mean, and then it began to deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it got to the point where there was no one participating in the Y.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were no kids or nothing. I mean, it was almost like a ghost thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had our place down there, and I really didn't want, I was not interested in no job at the Y. When they
right.
approached me about the job, I told
right.
them, you know, I wasn't interested in working at the Y. I said, you know, all the kids down here at our place, you know, I don't want to. So they asked me to meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked me to.
So they was the Theodore Wilson, the chairman?
Theodore Wilson, I think it was Theodore Wilson. There's about five people on the board.
Four other people
yeah,
on the
I think
board.
There was
okay.
two of them was two white guys and three mm-hmm. black folks,
okay.
black persons.
Mm-hmm.
And we met over at Sam's Subway.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, you know, they just asked me to tell them what I would do if I
right.
took the job, and I just explained to them what I would do. So they said that's just what they wanted. So
right.
that's why I said, if they accepted that, you know, I'd take the job, right? Yes.
Right. So we've talked about kind of, or they thought that you had rapport with the African American community, kind of like that was in the immediate area of Fall Creek. So do you agree that you had this relationship?
Well, that's what they said.
Okay.
You know, and I imagine I had some type of rapport. Now remember at this time,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. you had a lot of organizations that were busy. There was the Black Panther Party.
Right.
There was the College Room, mm-hmm. which was down on College. There was
right.
Rap, then, you know, and SNCC and CORE and NWA. They had all these organizations
right.
up at this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I had our place and the Pythons.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that if I had had any rapport or any kind of rapport with the black community, it was because of the our place, my connection with our place. Because
right.
when I came here,
okay.
I was very innocent. I wasn't interested in doing nothing but playing football.
Right.
I mean, that was my goal, to go back up and play professional football. And when I got involved with in the community, you know, then I decided to deal with our place, the kids in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I decided that I wasn't going to even attempt to go back up and play again.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, I would assume that maybe I had rapport,
right.
But I'm not too sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So what did she want to accomplish in the community as director of Fall Creek? Did she want to differentiate the YMCA from, you know, like the Black Panther Party and rap and some of the other some of the organizations that were helping the black community? Okay.
Not really. I had relationships with all of them. Okay. You know, I mean, right. They used to try to come over and recruit some of the guys from our place, you
oh,
know,
really
but our organization, but it was yeah, all right, you know, right. I mean, it was okay, but, you know, yeah. we, I'm going to tell you,
yeah.
I found out the history of Fall Creek. I mean, I know nothing about the YMCA. I found out yeah. the history of Fall Creek.
Right.
I think in 1974, when mm-hmm. when they requested, I put together a 5-year plan mm-hmm. for the branch.
Right.
And doing some research and searching in the archives of not, you know, whatever stuff we had there, man, I found mm-hmm. that copy of that article that I gave you. But there was something that interested me more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's when Fabian de France, you know, they talked about
right,
the people who came up with the idea. Of,
right. De France was like the executive secretary of the Senate Avenue.
Yeah, he was right. When he said mm-hmm. that he wanted to determine that the Senate Avenue YMCA become a mouthpiece for social change. Not just a place for leisure and pseudo intellectual activity.
Right.
And when he said that, you know, but he wanted to be a welfare agency, a chamber of commerce, a family consultant, educator, pressure group, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
That's what made me realize mm-hmm. that really that's what we were doing.
Okay.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's what we had been doing at the Y, and I was very happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So. We didn't have what I consider to be a typical YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were dealing with people who were kind of left behind, who wasn't able to leave the neighborhood.
Right.
And
what was like the makeup of the African American community that surrounded Fall Creek, the people who you were trying to help? And
well, it was really the people who lived in Lockville.
Okay.
All the kids in Lockville. Mm-hmm. Plus. We were able to deal with most of the kids in the, I think they had about 8 okay. public housing projects.
Okay.
And we had a, like an outreach program, mm-hmm. and we did programs in that public housing projects, and okay. we would bring those kids from Clearstream Gardens and different places, and we would bring them right. to pick them up, bring them to the Y. Do programs with them and take them back to the public housing place. And we had people who worked out in the public housing mm-hmm. that worked with them.
You
know? So, I mean, yeah. that was the makeup. We were dealing pretty much with mm-hmm. the whole Indianapolis. We weren't dealing with just
right.
the immediate right. Avenue, but we okay. were a tentacle. I mean, we reached in all the black right. communities pretty much.
Right.
No matter where it was.
I like
yes,
that. Yeah,
yes,
right.
Yeah.
And Fall Creek was the head.
Right.
But,
a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you had lived at the YMCA when you first
yes,
came to Indianapolis,
right,
and
right.
they were so crowded that you actually ended up on the women's floor.
Right. right.
And then you said that you watched the YMCA deteriorate.
Oh, yes, right.
Why do you think it was deteriorating?
Because the so-called, quote, affluent, people were moving out of the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and the people that was left behind was the people who the YMCA at that particular time didn't program to. I mean, they still was trying to hold on to, trying to get
right.
the people to come back, you know, and which they wasn't really dealing with the people and the problems within the neighborhood,
right.
and that's why it deteriorated. I mean, nobody wanted to participate in it.
You mentioned that representatives of the YMCA met with you at Sam's Subway.
And yeah.
Subways, and they asked you what you would do if you were director.
Right, right.
What did you tell them?
I told them the same thing. You know, if the kind of programs, the kind of things I would do, it was similar to what they said in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, I was not that interested in the recreation part. I mean, I looked at it and say, if we had that building, we could expand our the YMCA out into the to the neighborhood,
right,
and affect you know, more than what it was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. But let me say this to you. Even our involvement in the Y, what we did, we ended up being more like the conscience to the black community. When something would come up, we just automatically, you know, participate in it. I mean, when things would come up, for example, they had a fellow was alleged to have shot a police officer. A shot, I knew him, you know. Mm-hmm. And this fellow was a female impersonator. And let me tell you, the police department, I mean, they ransacked the black community. I mean, I never seen anything like that in my life, man. I mean, they were stopping women on buses because the guy was a female impersonator. Right. They would press women's breasts to make sure that they were females. And they were going into kicking people's door down and stopping people. I mean, it was terrible. Right. Nobody did anything. Mm-hmm. So what we did, I went over to Breadbasket. And I talked to some of the ministers at Breadbasket about, hey, you know, we got to do something about this problem in the black community, man. These people, are, you know, they're going nuts. So they told me that they were going to have this meeting over at the was the Ministerial Alliance, but where they meet at. So I went over there and I talked to them and they told me, they says, Lance, said, Lance, you know, are these, you know, you expect us to, you know, go out in the neighborhood and, you know, I told them, I said, well, you know, you're the ministers, you know. I mean, if you get shot and killed, you're going straight to heaven, you know, so you should be worried about getting killed, you know.
Right. Did you really say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I told him, I said, you shouldn't be worried about getting killed, you know. Yeah. So they put it off another time. They didn't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So they asked me, we had another meeting. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that they were not going to deal with it, I told him, I said, well, I would tell you what. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to go to the newspaper, and I'm going to tell them that Ricky Vaughn, because this is the guy's name, what they say was, I said, I'm going to tell the newspaper that Ricky Vaughn is hiding in your church. And I'm going to say, I'm going to let you see whether your church is a sanctuary, that nobody's going to bother you, because they said, well, wait a minute, hold it. Because I knew what happened. If I had told them that Ricky Vaughn was hiding in one of them churches, man, they'd have come down, man, and tore that church. You know. So they eventually agreed that they would, you know, they would do something. So they asked me, well, who's going to protect us? This is what the man said, who's going to protect us? So I told them, I said, we'll protect you. You know, I had two vans. I said, we'll come by, pick you up. Right. Take you in the community, like, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So they agreed. And we went and got them. And we took them in the community. And I think the first place we took them on 25th and Andrew J. Brown, mm-hmm, down at the pool room, yeah, where people hang out. And the ministers got out and they talked to the people. And these guys said to them, said, they were so glad to see him. I mean, oh, we're so glad to see you. We've been catching hell, whatever deal is. And so all of a sudden, you know, the preachers, the buttons start popping off their chests. You know, they took their chests out, they're passing out their cards, you know. So, you know, okay. I mean, it was like, you know, it was okay. That was okay. Right. So we decided that we were going to go eat. Bo Foster at the motel. There was a black motel here called Foster's Motel. Mm-hmm. So I had already talked to him and he was going to give us lunch. Right. So we go there and we sit down and we eat, mm-hmm, and we get a call that the police is out on 30th Street, you know, causing some ruckus with some people. Right. So I told him, I said, oh, let's stop the lunch, man, let's go. He said, no, we got to eat. Well, he said, no, boy, you call the food from there. Yeah. So it's, no, we going. So we go down there, and man, I probably shouldn't say this, but we got in the bus, we got in the vans. Mm-hmm. We were driving down to the place, and I heard some of the preachers say, "Man, I left my gun in the car." You know, I left my gun in the car. Said, I ain't taking no shit off nobody. Whatever it is, I'm looking at my buses, man. They got guns, man. Said, these are preachers, man. You know, so I'm saying that we finally went down. Nothing was happening, so we go back and we eat.
Right.
So we decided we're going downtown. I'm telling you this because I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. So we go down to, so we decide, we have a meeting, we decide we're going downtown. So we all go downtown to try to get some meet with the mayor and try to get the police to back up off the black community. So we go down and they decide that they're gonna meet with us. I can't think of the police chief's name. He wasn't a policeman, he was a citizen who became the police chief. So he decided he was gonna meet with us. So they start selecting who was gonna meet with the police chief. So they start selecting each other, man. And one of the guys said, wait a minute, no, says, John's gotta go, he's gonna be in on this too. I mean, they were going in with. So we go in and we talk to the police chief, and he tells us, you know that they're going to pursue with diligence, so and so and so and so. So we tell them we can't agree with this, you know. So we do this about two or three times, and then they come up with something they were going to do, and I tell them, nah, we can't. That ain't no good. We can't do that. So the guy looked at me, one of the guys in the meeting, man, he says, John, he says, no, that's okay. No, we accept that, that's okay. So I tell him we can't accept that. I'm doing this because this is important. I want you to see where Fall Creek fit into, mm-hmm. what's the name. Mm-hmm. So, man, I told him, I said, no, I'm gonna leave. I said, because I'm not going to be a part of this. If you guys accept this, I want to let everybody know I'm not a part of this. So what happened is, I talked to them dudes, man. They tore up a whole tablet coming up with crazy stuff that was going to do. But finally, mm-hmm. you know, we came to some conclusion about, stopping how it was going to stop. So we did. It finally eased up. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that was the kind of things at Fall Creek.
Right.
Was interesting that we did. I mean, that was beyond, the usual programs that Fall Creek had.
Right.
But those are the kind of programs that we dealt with. Mm-hmm. When Addicts voted to close up Addicts High School, mm-hmm. we were the ones, man, who decided that we were going to deal with that situation. You know, they were, again, man, they were, nobody was, everybody was just talking. And nobody was doing anything. So man said, we got to stop this. So well, again, we pick up the mantle and we deal with that. And it, eventually, they don't knock it down. What they did is they said, damn, man, you know, when we had them in a position where they were going to make a decision, day that they were going to make it, they used to keep us down there in the school board till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then they would say, well, they're not going to make no decision. Mm-hmm. So what happened, this one time they decided they're going to make a decision. As soon as they said they were going to make a decision, mm-hmm. sure enough, the principal and some of the teachers who had not been involved in the meetings, mm-hmm. told them, don't make no decision until you hear from us, which means that that dead decision. We had more problems, probably, with fighting against our own people than anybody else. So we dealt a lot with more social problems,
right,
and problems within the community and problems which was going on in the whole city, mm-hmm, than we did focusing in on the programs at Fall Creek. We also had programs at Fall Creek, but we had major programs that really made a difference in people's lives.
Right.
You know.
So Fall Creek functioned as kind of the socio-political conscious.
Pretty much, yes,
you know, yes. Of Indianapolis.
Well, let me put it this way. We were doing the Lord's work. We were doing the Christian thing to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what you're supposed to. You're supposed,
right,
to be helping people.
Right, which was in line with the YMCA,
right,
mission.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm not too sure it was.
Right. Well,
I'm not too sure it was, but
right,
I'll if you say right that, but okay, that was not their mission.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
right,
they were not happy with it, but
right,
because we were bringing in money. You know,
right,
I mean, it was okay.
Right.
So
you mentioned how Fall Creek had tentacles and how its programs really reached out to 8 housing projects. So I want
right
to talk about those, like the programs that you had at Fall Creek, at the site. So it's like, what kind of programs and services did she begin to develop as director of Fall Creek in 71? You know, you come there, it's deteriorated, you know. I think you said in a 1972 progress report, which you actually,
right,
you know,
right,
composed yourself. You talked about how it's basically little more than a third-rate hotel. You said that was the state of Fall Creek before
right
you became executive
right
director.
Right.
And so I guess you were just kind of taking stock of, you know, how the facility was in 72, and that's how you came up with the progress report. So, but what did you do to change that as your directorship went on?
Well, what happened is when I came into Fall Creek, mm-hmm, I when we came there with
right
monies,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Right.
Fall Creek was getting, I think, about $12,500 from United Way.
Okay.
And that played the director's salary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's all the money they got. I had talked to the mayor, and he had made some promises what he was going to do, which he lived up to. I mean, monies that we got from services we got from the park department,
mm-hmm,
which helped to change the gymnasium into a state of the arts gym, you know, from what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
We got monies that we used to fix up, pretty much fix the dormitories up, make them livable.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got there, there was nobody living at the Y.
Right.
When I took the job, there was nobody living there.
Mm-hmm.
The Metropolitan had the whole second floor of Fall Creek,
mm-hmm,
and that's where the offices were. Where downtown, they're downtown, they didn't have downtown offices, they were housed in Fall Creek. And they were housed there because they said that Fall Creek asked them to move in because they wasn't making no money. So, you know, I think they were,
mm-hmm,
they paid something like $3,000 a year,
mm-hmm,
you know, for that whole second floor,
right,
man, which was nothing. But
right,
so we just slowly started bringing in programs. And that, look, I had a staff.
Mm-hmm.
There was a staff there. It was unbelievable. I mean, the staff that was there when I got there, Ms. Duncan, Mr. Charleston, they had been at Center Avenue YMCA.
Okay.
Ms. Duncan was like, I mean, she took care of the finances, you know.
Right.
And we had a safe there.
Mm-hmm.
I never touched one penny at the Y. I mean, they,
mm-hmm,
I mean, they was able to, Ms. Duncan just took care of all of that, man. I didn't have to worry about,
right,
about no monies and stuff like that. So the programs that we had,
mm-hmm,
I think I gave you some of the programs that we had. Like
programs for like kids, single mothers.
The daycare program is a volunteer daycare program.
The Tiny Tots preschool program.
Right, and we had, these were volunteers. Some of the people, man, lived in those housing projects. We would pick them up, and they volunteered to run the daycare program. And the daycare program was not just for their kids, but some of the people were working. Mm-hmm. So they got a chance to bring their kids in, man. It didn't cost anything. I mean, you know, it just, you know, we had...
talk about a junior league basketball team, Fall Creek,
We had the PAL Club. You know, they ran the basketball team that we had there. And we had the national... I should have looked at that. You know,
no, it's
it was a national basketball tournament they had. And what happened is you had a playoff. You played teams here, and the team that won played in the national. So we won the league. So we were supposed to play in the national. But what they did is they tried to get me to say, let's have an all-star team. An all-star team, you would take pick a person from all the other teams that you beat to make an all-star team. I thought, man, you got your, what are you talking about? These dudes and scuffle, you'll to win this. It's never been won, but no, we're going to. And sure enough, man, we won the national, and our second team won second place in the lesser league. So, I mean, these were some of the things that we did that they seemed small. One of the big problems, one of the biggest problems that I had was they had a group there that was called the Bridge Club. And they, you know, I mean, I used to play, you know, in there. But what happened is because we were so crowded with programs, Fall Creek was really almost too small. I mean, we had kids coming out of the woodwork. So we asked the people there to give us a schedule when they were going to meet. And the Bridge Club, you know, they would give us a schedule, but then they wouldn't show up on that time. So the building would sit there, that room would sit there empty. And we didn't know whether they were coming or not. So eventually we had a little confrontation because I told them that they had to give us a schedule. So one day they came in, and they hadn't give us a schedule, man, and the kids were already in there doing something. So we had a big confrontation, and they told me very plainly that they had donated money to the Y and all that other stuff, you know, and that they were the Bridge Club. So we had, we worked it out. But
it's really kind of middle class,
right. But that's that seemed like that's what the Y was before, man. Because it's that new building, man. They were, I mean, it was like they had all kinds of international programs. I mean, they had everything going on for a while there. Then people left. So it was just unfortunate that we was not able to. Convince people to participate. Now, here's what I did. After I was doing this research, I looked around and I found, I saw that the churches, I saw that the ministers was really involved in the Y when in the first beginning and while it was going on. It was they were like had leadership. But they were not participating at the time, you know, that when I went. So what I did is, in looking through some of the information, I saw Dr. Benjamin Davis, who was a minister that I knew. So I went and asked him, that he was chairman of the board at the time. So I went and talked to him to find out why that the minister stopped participating. And what I found out was there was a rift between the ministers and the layman, who was going to run the Y, you know? And when the layman won the thing that they were going to run the Y, then the ministers didn't participate anymore.
Right.
So that hurt that hurt the Y quite a bit.
Right.
But
No, sorry, I was gonna talk or ask you more about how the rifts in the Black community affected what you were doing at Fall Creek. I want to know more about the programming that you started in the 70s and how that rift came to affect the programming that you had started. Or do you want to talk about the rift in the Black community and how that did affect what you were doing?
No, we were fine.
Okay.
I mean, no,
right.
no,
oh,
we
okay,
were,
so that
no,
really,
no, it, that didn't,
right.
that wasn't the
right.
the thing that bothered that affected us.
Oh, okay.
We were having problems with, we started to have problems with Metro.
Okay.
That's where
right.
we started having problems.
Okay.
I mean, we were doing fine.
Yeah,
you know, matter of fact,
right.
we were bringing more money into the Y than the Y had ever had before.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Fall Creek were paid off during the time that I was on the administration. It was completely paid off. There was nothing going on it.
Right.
But then what I found out is that the Y operated like Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you paid them
right.
to tell you how to use the money that you raised.
Right.
I mean, they didn't give any money to the branches. They took money. I mean, you had to pay Metro a certain percentage of your income.
Right.
Then you had to pay the national office a certain amount of your income.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't helping you as far as raising money or
right.
putting money into the Y. You pay them,
right?
You know, to tell you how to raise the money that you raise,
right?
So,
I mean, you were director of Fall Creek for 8 years,
yes,
from 71 to 79. Yeah. So you just talked about the relationship between Fall Creek and the Metro Y.
Well, see, I was there on three executives.
Okay.
One when I took the job, then there was another one, which was Fred Carl, and then there was the last one, which was some dude from New York. I can't remember what his name was. Peck,
right.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
So each relationship was different.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much going on in the neighborhood and the community, you know, that was, I mean, that affected the neighborhood. To give you an example, we built our market there, and then later on the city came along and said that they were going to remodel Lockfield Gardens, and they wanted to move the people out,
right.
And once they remodeled it, then they would bring them back in. Well, I told them, we tried to tell people don't move, don't leave, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them say, oh, John, you just hate white people, you know, whatever deal it is. I told them, no, man. I said, once you get out, you ain't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So here we got a brand new supermarket there. You got 748 families in Lockfield Gardens. And then they closed it down. Once the people got out, they closed it.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan said that do not remodel Lockfield Gardens because Lockfield Gardens promote segregation.
Right.
So they decided not to, so they decided to let me. It sit there for months, years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they
you're
said,
talking about federal judge S. Hugh Dillon.
Oh, I'm talking
right.
about federal judge
right.
S. Hugh Dillon.
And I think he ruled in 1971 that IPS schools practice de jure segregation.
But then,
so, right.
but you know what's so,
exactly.
you know what's so strange about that?
Right. So
they already passed a law in 1954.
Right. Yeah,
to desegregate the high schools. They never did segregate at it. I mean, never did integrate at it, which is a terrible word.
Right.
Integration. That's a word I think that white folks, black folks concocted.
Right.
Because white folks knew they weren't talking about integration. What they were talking about was really desegregation.
Right.
And what they voted for here was one-way busing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
You bus the black folks out to the white neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So we had meetings at Fall Creek against that one-way busing.
Right.
We had sometimes 200 people, you'll come to the meetings.
Right.
Against one-way busing.
Right.
You know? And they had a federal man from the federal department came here. Mm-hmm. And they had a meeting at, I think it was Bo Foster's place. And all these so-called black leaders and people were there.
Right.
And I went to the meeting. And, you know, they were talking about, the schools, what we're going to do with the mm-hmm. schools. And it's good, it's good, it's good. So I asked the guy from the federal office, I said, look, I said, because, see, black folks had been trying to convince the public mm-hmm. to integrate because they said, well, you know, you're going to have air conditioning, you're going to have all these stuff, all the nice books and so on, so on, so on, so on.
Mm-hmm.
So the school, the education is going to be better. Now, these were really the middle class black folks,
mm-hmm.
Those who thought they were in the middle class, who were always pushing integration.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who left the community and left black folks behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I said they're chasing white folks. Wherever the white folks are, that's where they were moving to. You know, to me, they didn't feel that they were nobody unless they was going to school with white folks.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what they were, I mean, this was the whole essence of the so-called integration program from Martin Luther King to today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, if you're not associated with white folks, then you ain't nobody, you ain't nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea they took. Well, my concept is that we had to, first of all, we had to learn who we were.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to learn what contributions that we made in order to take pride in ourselves so we could take pride in our community, so we could take pride in why. Let me tell you something. Many nights, mm-hmm. I left the Y,
mm-hmm.
and some of the kids from our place, some of them were mm-hmm. adults, I left them in charge of the Y. They're the Y all night long, playing basketball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't worry one bit.
Mm-hmm.
They had no problem. They had no, if there was any problem, they took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't worried about it. I'm saying that's the kind of cohesiveness that we had.
Right.
When they had the riots on the avenue, we told the Black Panther Party, we told College Room, and all other organizations, don't come into the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were able to do that, and we took care of it.
Right.
You know, we stopped the riots,
mm-hmm.
because and it was no problem.
Right.
So I'm saying, the Fall Creek, what we were doing at Fall Creek was far beyond the call of duty. And I remember they still had the YWCA here also when that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we did a whole lot of stuff to help the YWCA.
Okay.
One of the programs we had was the West Side Work Program, where we got some, I think it was Dr. Lloyd had gotten some money to run this program. And the people down at the Chamber of Commerce was not interested in them hoodlums being on that payroll.
Yeah.
So he could get the program off the ground. You know, he had gotten some money through Livers to do the summer program.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Are you talking about the young adult council that you had at Fall Creek?
This was something else totally different. This is another program.
Right.
This was during the 70s. He had $100,000 to run this program. It wasn't for the Y, it was for the community.
Where did the money come from, the $100,000?
From Levis.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't get it off the ground, so he called me and asked me if I could help. I told him, we could deal with it. So I got the $100,000,
mm-hmm.
took it to the Y. Of course, they got their bit off the top.
Mm-hmm.
But they did match funds with it and made it, I've forgotten how many thousands of dollars that it was worth.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is that the program was ran by Fall Creek, by us,
mm-hmm.
at Camp Atterbury.
Okay, right.
You know, I drove every day. Mm-hmm. I drove from 8 hours at Fall Creek Mm-hmm. And I would drive from Fall Creek to Camp Atterbury.
Right, which is like close to Edinburgh.
Yes, ma'am.
Like that.
And they didn't pay no gas money, no nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, which I didn't even think about that. I mean, mm-hmm. that you know, so I'm saying we ran that program, and we used some of that program money mm-hmm. to fix up Fall Creek. We fixed a pool.
Mm-hmm.
We painted the painted the inside of the building. I mean, we just laid it out pretty good,
right?
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you know we were
right. And these were programs you were doing in the '70s after
oh,
you
yes.
became director.
Yes. I'm saying
right.
these were some of the
right.
programs that we were doing.
Right.
I had.
What about the like the monster meetings? I just wanna.
Well, let me say this about those monster meetings because I never did have a chance
right.
to go to the monster
right.
meetings that they had.
Right. Oh, and just to say,
yeah.
Just to kind of give a background about the monster meetings, they were held, or they first started at the Senate Avenue.
They started
YMCA,
Senate Avenue YMCA.
Which was between 1913 and 1959.
Right.
And basically, the monster meeting program was like a speaker feature forum.
Right.
And it
right.
hosted educators, civil
right.
rights activists, athletes, politicians. And people who spoke were, you know, Howard University President Dr. Mordecai Johnson, Thurgood Marshall, County Cullen, Alain Locke, W.B. Du Bois, Jesse James, Jackie Robinson,
right.
Eleanor Roosevelt, and
right.
Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were all
right.
speakers at the Senate Avenue.
Right.
YMCA for the monster meetings. So
right.
so you continued the monster meetings
no,
at
no,
Fall Creek?
No, they continued the monster meetings at Fall Creek. You know.
So they, like the...
You know, I mean, the early part of when
oh,
they
okay.
first built the
mm-hmm.
Fall Creek YMCA, I mean,
okay,
they
right.
continued the monster meetings.
Oh, when they first built it.
Yeah,
they
was not taking place when
oh,
you know when I moved into the Fall
right.
Creek. I mean, it was the
right.
monster meetings was I don't know what
and
they were. They were not monsters anymore. They
right.
Were
okay. And
but
when
I
moved
the meetings that I started
right.
was, I think I, Leroy Jones, you know, Imam Baraka. Whoever was coming through town at the time
right.
of any significance, man, I'd have them stop off at the Y and
right.
talk to people. But what I did,
mm-hmm.
I got a, I had a 2-week seminar.
Right. Okay. Right. In January 1976.
Yeah.
For
mm-hmm. Dr. Ben.
Okay.
And
Dr. Ben is Dr. Yosef Ben.
Yosef Ben Yekinen. You know,
okay. Right.
Yeah.
He's called Dr. Ben.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's how I referred to him
right.
as Dr. Ben. I mean, we
right.
became friends, you know, much
right.
more than.
And just background, Dr. Ben, he was an Afrocentric anthropologist.
No,
Dr.
Ben was a
right.
Dr. Ben was a black Jew.
Okay.
That I mean that he was he's
right.
from Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he was a Falasha Jew.
Okay.
And. He was also an ordained minister.
Okay.
But Dr. Ben had more.
I knew he was an author. He wrote
Dr. Ben
prolific
had more.
Author. Okay.
Dr. Ben had more degrees than a thermometer. You know, to give an example, you know, I don't know what I gave you.
Right.
Dr. Ben's. I give an example of what type, what Dr. Ben. His education. The University of Puerto Rico, Engineering and Agriculture,
mm-hmm.
MS degree in Engineering from Cambridge University,
mm-hmm.
Cultural Anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
These are master's degrees he got.
Right.
You know, PhD in Anthropology,
mm-hmm.
Law degree from LaSalle University,
mm-hmm.
PhD in Morris History. His employment man, he was professor of the Caribbean and Latin Studies and Anthropology at the University of Puerto Rico. He was Maritime Services, grade through third assistant engineer in the Caribbean headquarters, special representative to the East African Desk, United Nations Economic, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, advisor to the permanent African mission to the United Nations Organization, visiting associated professor of history at Teachers College at Columbia University, adjunct professor of history at State Teachers College, adjunct professor of history at State Teachers College in New Platts, adjunct history of history at Vassar College. And when you talk about an author. Now, his current employment at the time, when I met him, he was working at a visiting professor of history at Africana Studies at Research Center at Cornell University, and the history of religion at Marymount College, and a full-time professor of history and religion at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. I mean, he was, here's his languages, the languages that he spoke. Right. He spoke Spanish, he spoke Portuguese, he spoke Italian, right. He spoke Hebrew, he spoke Amharic, he spoke Ge'ez, Egyptologist. He could read hieroglyphics. He could read hieroglyphics. Mm-hmm. And some of the books that he wrote was We the Black Jews, Rape of Africa and the Crisis in Angola, Africa, Land, the People, Culture, Black Man of the Nile and His Family, African Origins of the Major Western Religions, Africa, Mother of Western Civilization, Black Man of the Nile, Northeast Africa, Black Man of the Nile and His Family, Culture, Genocide and the Black Studies Curriculum, Chronology of the Bible, Extracts from the Comments of the Black Holy Bible, With Need for a Black Bible, Understanding the African Philosophy and the Concept of the Law of the Diagram of Opposites. He was married, father of 19 children, 22 grandchildren. I mean, hey, Dr. Ben, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Ben was a multi-genius. We did a 2-week seminar at Fall Creek. Advertised on every TV station, and every newspaper, it was advertised. The 2-week seminar with this man and his counterpart, Professor Simon, cost $25 for 2 weeks. I never saw one school teacher there. I never saw, I saw one minister attend. I didn't see anybody from IUPUI over there. I'm saying there were people there, but I'm saying you would assume that people would have came rushing to see what this man was all about.
Right.
Now,
I mean, but was the audience diverse? Were there both white and black people at the conference?
If there were white people there, man, they must have been invisible because I didn't see them. You know.
And then you mentioned Professor George Simmons.
That was his counterpart. That was his buddy.
Okay, his buddy.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I think he was a professor at the New York College of Technology.
Right. Malcolm King College.
Malcolm King College.
Yeah.
Okay.
Professor Simmons. Yeah.
Do you know what subject he taught, Professor Simmons?
I'm sure it had to do with African history.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he was
a
chief. Yeah. Right.
So why did you ask him to come to speak at Fall Creek? What was, why did she want?
Well, here's what happened.
Your kids at Fall Creek to hear them. Yeah.
I had we was having a Malcolm X Day celebration at Fall Creek.
Right.
I'd heard a record of Dr. Ben speaking, and I had never met him. I didn't know anything about him, but I heard this album of him speaking, "The Wake Up Black Man." That's what's the title of it. So I tried to get in touch with him, and I wanted him to come to speak at the Malcolm Day celebration.
Right.
So, but he didn't come. He sent Professor Simmons. Well, I thought Professor Simmons was Dr. Ben, because I had never met Dr. Ben. And he's, you know, Professor Simmons, he was from an island too. You know, he spoke with an accent, so I thought he was Dr. Ben.
Right.
So we sit down in the office and we're talking, man, and I said, so he's talking to me about books. Professor Simmons was a master teacher, man. That dude, he could take a book. He took my textbook, which was called Herodicus, that I studied in college out of. The father, he's supposed to be the father of history. And he took that textbook that I studied out of, and he showed me in that textbook something, man, that my college professor never told me about. I never said, I never knew it. And you know when you got a textbook, when your instructor tell you to read something, that's all you're going to read. You ain't going to read the whole, you're not going to read the whole book. You don't even read that. But what he did is, he showed me in book two, that's Herodicus speaking. And Herodicus talking about the Africans and the Egyptians, mm-hmm. you know, and talking about what the Egyptians and the Africans had done. Mm-hmm. And he showed me this man, and I'm saying, man, why didn't my instructor tell me about this man? Now, he's telling me about all this stuff. But I'm saying that when he then I appreciate him coming, man. So he spoke at the right. Malcolm Day celebration. So okay. when so I had got Dr. Ben here to I think he spoke at IUPUI.
Okay.
And speaking at IUPUI, they had conferences. Mm-hmm. He came into town for the conference down at the Black Expo. He used to have African symposium. Mm-hmm. That Africans from all over the embassies, all over Africa, from the OAU, you know, they come down there and speak.
Right.
And Dr. Ben, you know, I got him to come down, you know, mm-hmm. and the students at IUPUI, because I was an advisor to the student union,
mm-hmm.
so Black Student Union.
Black Student Union.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get Dr. Ben I got him to come over here and speak. You know,
right.
to over for the students,
mm-hmm.
and you would call Dr. Ben and tell him there's some students at IUPUI that
right.
like to have you come and speak. Know what he tell you?
Yeah.
He says, I tell you, they ain't got no money, Doc.
Yeah.
You know what he say? Mm-hmm. Can they give me an airplane ticket?
Mm-hmm.
Can they find me some place to stay?
Mm-hmm.
He stayed at people's house. He didn't care. You know, so I could let him stay at the Y's. You know, because
right.
I was at the
mm-hmm.
Y.
Yeah.
You know. He says, can they get me something to eat? I said, yeah. He said, I'll be there. That's
mm-hmm.
the type of dude he was.
Right.
I mean, with all them credentials, man,
mm-hmm.
that's the type of guy that he was, man. He
right.
said, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came here I don't know how many times.
Right.
You know, but I'm saying that this exposure,
mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, yeah, the Monster Club, Monster meetings were great.
Right.
But I'm saying but the kind of exposure that Dr. Ben could give to the
right.
public, man, was but, you know,
right.
you had the people there, you know, a lot of people there, but not some of the people, man, who I thought that should have been there.
Right.
You know, matter of fact, the white folks used to call, would call me on the telephone and
mm-hmm.
say, because we advertised some books.
Right.
That so they say, well, I'd like to get one of those books, some of those books. I said,
mm-hmm.
well, you get them.
Mm-hmm.
Just come to the seminar. Nah.
Right.
Nah, that's the sorry.
Yeah.
They would come to seminar.
Right. So we talked about the programming and the physical improvements that were made to Fall Creek during your directorship. And we only have about an hour left, so I want to talk about like the funding you brought in and then, you know, kind of your relationship with Metro Y. So do you have any questions? Okay. So just going into talking about the funding, I want to refer to Ronald Henderson's report on survival action for Black YMCAs.
Okay.
And you lent us that report and let us copy it, which was prepared by the Task Force on the Survival and Future of Black and Non-White YMCA Units.
Right.
And Ronald Henderson was an officer of the Black and Non-White Layman and Staff.
BANWYS, yes.
Right, BANWYS,
right.
And that's spelled BANWYS.
Right.
So that's his acronym. And he submitted this report to the National Conference of Black and Non-White Laymen and Staff of the YMCA in 1974.
Right.
So I'm just going to quote some from his report. He stated that, quote, the conventional YMCA operation is managed by a group of concerned people who have the financial means to support a large portion of the operating costs, close quote. So essentially, he said that services and programs are sold at the price of a membership fee,
right.
and that's how the conventional YMCA functioned.
Right.
So according to this definition, the Fall Creek YMCA in the 1970s wasn't really a conventional YMCA.
Right.
You talked about bringing
right.
in a lot of funding. And also going back to the letter that Chairman Theodore Wilson addressed to you, he
right.
talked about how it would be a good idea to bring or just that the board wouldn't object to your appointment if you brought in $50,000 or if you raised $50,000 and brought
yeah.
that to the table at the beginning of your directorship at Fall Creek. So I know you talked about bringing in funding. I guess what other foundations did you get funding from to bring in?
Well, first of all, I met with the
mm-hmm.
with the United Way,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Beasley, who was head of the United Way Allocating Committee, you know, he was hooked up with Eli Lilly's.
Okay.
So at the time, the Y was getting $12,500 for the executive. That was
right.
it. So I met with him, and I told him, explained to him, you know, matter of fact, I think I was probably the first, maybe one of the only executives to ever meet with the funding, with
right.
the allocating committee. Usually the board chairman or somebody meet with him, but I met with him, I talked to him.
Right.
I think we got either $121,000, $111,000that they upped the ante. Then I got, we got $100,000 from the Lilly Foundation.
Right.
And then we brought in about 90-some thousand dollars from the Park Department, you know, of in-kind services and monies and stuff to bring in.
Right.
Now we had some memberships, but they were very, 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 very
right.
few memberships.
So Fall Creek wasn't supported by membership
fees? No. Well, then you have to remember too, you know, most of those white wires are named for, you know, philanthropists, people that's got some money.
Right.
You know, or we can get too much money out of the creek.
Right.
You know, we need money, we can go to Fall Creek and get some money.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, so we were pretty much solely right. funded by monies coming in.
Right.
But my intentions, when I realized how the Y worked, and when I realized, now BandWise, remember, I didn't participate in BandWise until 1974. I went to the
okay.
BandWise conference.
Right.
But when I went to the BandWise conference, everything that Fall Creek
right.
was doing, the information I gave you, we were doing that before I even knew anything about BandWise.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't influence what we were doing. We were already doing
right. You're already
doing,
bringing in funding
right.
from
and yeah. programs,
right,
you know.
And doing the programs.
So they use our program as a way of survival for the black YMCAs across the nation
right.
because
so
the black YMCAs
right.
across the nation was catching hell.
Right.
I mean, like I told you, those metropolitans, they don't give you no money.
Right.
But they own your building.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bad part about it. I'd say the first mistake that Fall Creek made was when they organized is to hook up with Metro
right.
because they were independent.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, you ain't nobody unless you hook up with the white folks.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably would have done the same thing,
right.
which is really what I did too, because mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about the Y. I didn't know how
right.
to operate it, you know. So, I mean, I had to
right.
hook up with somebody, man,
yeah.
in order to learn how the things operate. But eventually,
right.
my whole goal was to become independent.
Right.
To become an independent YMCA, because you had several independent YMCAs in the country.
Right.
And I knew that the only way they could really exist, or even to raise more money, that we would have to do it independently. And I was wanting to hook back up with the ministers and bring all those people back into the Y. But I didn't think my board was
right.
ready for that independence.
Right.
You know,
okay.
because that meant there was a whole lot more responsibility on that board.
Right.
than operating the way you did with us bringing in the money. They really didn't have to raise no membership.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have to, you know. So, I didn't think they asked the wrong people about whether they would support it if we went independent, and you know, they couldn't say yes because that
right.
would have been a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So,
right.
so we never did get a chance to do it, but no, my whole goal, man, was to pull away from Metro.
Right.
The Metro ain't done nothing for the branches, man. I mean, I
for
call
the
them,
black branches?
No, nope, like leeches. You know, you're sucking the blood out of the black
right.
branches, man, and you ain't giving nothing. But what they did, and what really turned the corner, is
right.
that they decided, when this dude came from New York, for some reason, you know, they were trying to find some kind of way to control the money that we were bringing in.
Right.
But what they did, they decided that they wanted to centralize the power of the YMCA, bring all the YMCAs under the umbrella of Metro, then they would determine the programs that you ran,
right.
And you became, all you would become is like a conduit.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you what programs you're going to run, and you run those programs. So they wanted to make all the branches, including Fall Creek, physical fitness centers.
Right. Did they budget money for the
program? They didn't budget nothing.
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't budget. Right. No, the budget they figured, we the ones got to come up with the money.
Okay, you have to come up.
See, we got to come up with the money, you know, and then they take that portion off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell you how, what programs you're going to run and what programs you can't run.
With the money that you bring
in. Yeah,
in.
So I told them, they go, hell, man, I wasn't going to, you know, hey, we were going to run with the programs that we ran, dealing with people, man, that needed the YMCA services, man, not to somebody, man, who's going to pay a $500, man, to lift weights and do whatever.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
what happened is we got into this big battle, man.
Right.
You know.
We're about to go in.
Yeah.
Do you want?
I actually did have a question.
Okay.
Look at my notes here.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that your board,
yeah.
Fall Creek Y, you said they were not ready for the step two independence.
Oh, no.
Right. I want to ask you a couple questions about your
right.
board.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How did those board members get selected?
Oh, I chose quite a few of them.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What guidelines did you use for picking board members?
That was concerned about the same type of things that we were concerned about,
mm-hmm.
and was willing to support the programs that we were.
So as director, you had the freedom to select board members.
Oh well, I recommended them, but
okay.
My board, I never had no problem with my board, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. disagreeing with what we what we suggested.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, some boards of directors for. Mm-hmm. Nonprofit organizations kind of exist to raise money.
Right.
Did your board raise money?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not really. No.
Okay.
No. And I really didn't require them to raise any money.
Okay.
Right.
You know, all I wanted them to do was support the programs that we had going on.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked them to raise one penny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but I knew that they would have to raise money at some time.
Right.
You know, but Fall Creek used to. They led the nation, the black YMCAs, in fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they was at Senate,
mm-hmm.
and even when they, the beginning of Fall Creek, they led the nation for years as the top black fundraisers for those branches.
Mm-hmm.
So even that one was doing well. But you know, we
so
had
what was the source of that money?
Mm-hmm.
Membership drives.
So there were middle class, upper middle class African American
people.
Oh,
yeah. Who preachers.
Were
preachers.
Sharing with their wealth with the YMCA.
Yeah, preachers, businessmen, you know, no, they were, but they were also benefiting too because they could do their thing at the Y,
mm-hmm.
you know. To tell you the truth, I didn't see very many kids at the Y when I lived there. I didn't
mm-hmm.
see very many programs for kids there, man. Most of the programs I saw was for adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that. Big dances and international dances and you know but this so I didn't see very many programs for kids when they pull out what it did is it left people there man who couldn't raise any money. I mean they allow them to raise why are you gonna get some money from people from Lockville Gardens?
So basically when they left they took their money with them.
They stopped doing
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So we had to survive as best way we can. Now,
mm-hmm.
don't get me wrong now. I don't have no illusion
right.
why we got that money from the city, from
okay.
United Way, from
right.
My personal opinion, I don't believe there was no philanthropy. I don't believe they did it because it was out the good of their heart
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Like I told you, there was a whole lot of organizations in this city at the time, the Black Panthers, the whole thing, then you had to have the riots and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much knew why we got the money, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But what I did is I tried to take it
mm-hmm.
and use it to get us to use it for the benefit of, you know, what we were trying to do.
Right.
I'd like to ask you a question if I could. And it's when I learned to do oral history, one of the things I learned is you never ask somebody a question mm-hmm. that leads the witness. So I'm just going to ask you, why do you think that those places gave you money?
Right.
United Way, the Parks Department, Lilly. Mm-hmm. What do you think their motivation was?
I think they knew that we could operate the program. Okay. I think they knew that. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that the theme of the city at the nation at that time, man. Mm-hmm. Man, black folks were burning down America. I mean, all over, you know, from Watts to every place. I mean, so they didn't necessarily want that to happen. We already had to, could have been, but people don't realize. I don't know how you turn this thing off. I have no idea how to turn it off. Oh, okay.
If it makes you feel any better, Mr. Lance, my daughter has to turn mine off.
Man, I don't call this a smartphone, man. It's smarter than me. Sometimes it rings on its own.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, I knew. But I knew. Yeah. It's not that I'm belittling what the Lillies in those places done. Because they would not have given any monies if they didn't think that you could have some success for a period of time, mm-hmm. until the city and all the rest of them got ready to do what they wanted to do. So to move in here, man, and take everything, you know. Right. Plus, it's like when we got the money to build our market.
Where did that money come from?
Some of it came from Lilly's. Mm-hmm. But what happened is we got a loan just like anybody else. I had to sign on the dotted line. And my name was the only one on the dotted line for over $250,000 to build that market. And they told me, Lance, you can put $10 million on that if you want to. Hey, I'm going to sign it because where you going to get it from? If you go back, you can't get it from me. It don't make me no difference. But when I really, what really made me realize what was going on is when they told me, when they suggested to me, that I become the president of our market. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, wait a minute now. I'm saying to myself, I don't know about no damn market. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm staying at our place, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying that I got somebody else to run our market. I don't know about the market. I said, that's a setup for failure. Mm-hmm. So when our market closed, when they set it up for auction, to auction off all the goodies, the people who came down there to look, to buy up the stuff, they looked around and said, they're talking about what a beautiful market it was, man. They said, what happened to it? Then the dude looked over at Lockfield and says, is that place closed over there? I said, Lockfield Garden, yeah, it was closed. I said, damn, I know what, they said, we know what happened to it. So I'm saying, you give us money to build a market. Mm-hmm. Or we get a loan, and then you close up one of the top places, you know, so I could see what the deal was. Mm-hmm. You give us money, we get money to do the why, but you know, it's almost like pacifying the people, man, and slowly you're pacifying the people, but you are redlining the neighborhood.
Right.
Where a person can't get no money to build his house up, well, you know he's going to eventually leave. You give us money to deal with the why, but you're busing people one way out of the city.
Right.
You know that people are going to follow wherever, sooner or later they're going to try to follow wherever their kids are going. Mm-hmm. So, I could see what the deal was, but my problem is, I consider myself a tremendous failure because I could not convince black folks what was taking place and for us to take advantage. I tried to keep people here. Mm-hmm. I tried to, even with IUPUI taking property, man, I tried to make people stay, don't leave. You'll stay, make them throw you out or whatever the deal is, but they couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. Man, you got an old ragged-ass house, mm-hmm. and they offer you $10,000, $15,000 cash money for your house, and you ain't never seen that kind of money in your life. You know, the first thing you're going to do is say, hey, what are you talking about? Let them take this, you know, mm-hmm. that right. kind of cash be gone.
Yeah.
I saw in that book, what's the name of Progress? When they had that 40-year, IU had that 40-year IUPUI had their 40-year celebration at the Walker Building.
Okay.
You know who they invited to put on the panel?
No.
One person was an artist, the other person was a musician. Mm-hmm. This is who they bought, this is who put on the panel to talk to the people about what the IU had done and so on. So what the hell, they don't know what's going on. You think they invited me? No, they didn't invite me. I knew more about what's going on. I was here before the first, before this building. This is the first building that they built on the right. campus. I was here before this.
Right.
You know? Matter of fact, I knew some people who tried to burn it down. And you know what they said? know what they said?
No.
They said, the newspaper says, spontaneous combustion. You know, I'm busting my side laughing, man. But you know, but I'm saying, you know, but I'm saying you know what's going on, but you can't stop it.
Right.
And where I learned what the deal was, especially with white folks, man, the dude at the mayor's office, he told me, he said, look, he said, John, he says, as many people you can come down, get to come downtown and say yes to something. He said, I can get that many and more to come down and say no. So, man. But then I realized what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do nothing. I don't care what you got to do. You know, if you can't get no support from the people that you're dealing with, then you're not going to be. It's not going to be successful. So that's the problem. You know, and I'm saying that in the midst of the wire there. You know, I got my own salary. I made $19,000. I made $19,000 a year for 10 years almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dudes who they chose to come behind me came off the board,
right.
A metropolitan board. They came off the board. You know how much money he made when he stepped on the what? $36,000. That's what they paid him. They paid him to sell out, to change it to that physical fitness.
Right.
I came over there one time and I looked at it. I saw where we had pool tables and stuff. I saw equipment. The beautiful cafeteria,
right.
Physical equipment, man. All this damn equipment,
this
man.
This was after you.
Yes.
Didn't go away.
And you know what? You know where it went? From there, boom, dead. I told them in the beginning. I told the people downtown, man. I knew that's what was going to happen. They said black folks ain't gonna pay that kind of money to come over there and lift no weights.
Right.
Say if they got that kind of money to pay to go lift weights, they want to lift weights with white folks.
Right.
They're gonna go out to the white, man. They ain't gonna come down there and lift weight. They didn't even want to swim down there. Okay. They wanted that kid. Some of them say, "That's me." Mm-hmm. If I would, not me. That's my awkward. If I would set up a special program for their kids because they didn't want their kids swimming with the kids in Lockfield, them with black folks.
Right.
So I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I had more. I learned.
Mm-hmm.
From my innocence of being here, I learned that I had more problems, man, with black folks than I had with white folks in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything we tried to do, man, you know, it's like they, you know, I mean, it was just problems. We ran in, and the more you run in problems, the more you got to try to figure out how to get it done, and the more you do, my family, man. My kids right now, when I talk to some of my kids now, man, I didn't hardly spend no time with my family. I stayed either at our place, spending the night with dudes at our place, or somebody calling me, I'm at home, and, hey, John, you got to get on here, man. They're doing so and so and so. You know what the thing was at that time? Glue. Snipping glue was the big deal.
Yeah.
And taking those black beauties. You know, these kids would take these things, man, they get high. And they biting and cutting and shooting. I had to spend more time with them than I did with my kids. So I'm saying, you know, it's like you look back on it and you see yourself, I see myself as a failure because I could not convince my people, not white folks. I didn't care about them. If I could use that money to help black folks and then black folks take the money, man, and do something, man, to help themselves, you know what? The greatest thing that could have ever happened over here, that they had the greatest opportunity, man, to do something, man, that no city has ever done in this country, is in the great black folks. But they did the same thing that all these other places did. Wipe the black folks out and replace them with white folks. I came to this conclusion, and I still believe it. when white folks figure out what black folks really want, you know, we struggle for segregation, integration. When they figure out what you really want, I mean, no, when you tell them what you want, when they figure out how they can use whatever it is that you say you want, how they figure out that you can use it against you, they give it to you. Mm-hmm. When Hutnut and Dr. Lloyd had a news conference, say that they were going to close up Lockfield Gardens, they were going to demolish it, Lockfield Gardens.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is in 1982 when they were about to demolish it.
Did nobody say nothing? You know who opened their mouths? We did.
Mm-hmm.
We made Medic call a news conference and to say that we objected to them knocking Lockfield down. You know, because I said, man, that's part of the trick. I know what's happening. I know exactly what's happening. We fought them for the longest. Man, the Chancellor of IUPUI said time and time again, we have no interest in Lockfield Gardens. No interest. I don't know what you're talking about, Lance. You got no interest in Lockfield Gardens. We fought that. When we went to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. Hutnut flew up 18 people.
Right.
We drove, me and Ms. McElroy and Mrs. Stepper drove her ragged-ass car to Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. because of the Department of Interior.
Do you remember when that was?
Mm-hmm. But when did they say they're going to knock it down?
1982. Yeah, it was vacated in 1973.
About 1980. It was in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we objected, the Department of Interior and when you preserve something, Historical Preservation Society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They called me at IUP. They called me at work. I'm over at the door. They says, we read where you object to the UP, blah, 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 blah. I say, can you get some people to at a meeting,
mm-hmm.
you know? I told them when. I said, tomorrow. I said, what? So I told them, we could do it. So we had full of people at Jam.
Right.
They came out and they talked to us. And it had Hutnut, I mean, the mayor and stuff, they had their people there. And they agreed, you know, I mean, because we couldn't come to a conclusion. They said, we're going to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And when they said, we're going to Washington.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You just go ahead. Mm-hmm. Right.
I told them, we couldn't fly. So me and Ms. McElroy and Mrs. Stepper, who she was head of medic, we drove.
Right.
Drove our car. Our car broke down.
Right.
But you know what? Boy, they could put me in the 500.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I got there in 8 hours.
Right.
But when we got there, man, they had 18 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there, man, and listened to what they said about Lockfield Gardens. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life, man. I mean, when they laid out how that place was laid out, man, I mean, that is, you know who used to live in there?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the elite. Not poor folks, not poor black folks, some of the top, you know, elite people, man, that's where they live.
Right.
When they left, that's when the poor folks came in,
yeah.
you know. But I'm saying, when we came back, they told us to go back to Indianapolis and work it out, form a committee. They came back there, and we met time and time again downtown.
Right.
New leadership took over Matic.
Mm-hmm.
We would meet almost every day talking about when we go downtown to the meeting, what we're going to do. We get down to the meeting. The black folks would say something else totally different than what we said in the meeting. I said, man, what the hell's going on? And I would tell them, I said, man, they want that land. They want to knock that building down. They don't want to. Even the black folks, come on, John, man, they done told you that they're not interested in doing that. Man, why you keep bringing that up? So, the time that they got ready to make a decision, when they said, well, we're going to make a decision the next meeting,
mm-hmm.
you know, I got some information from down at the Department of Metropolitan Development.
Okay.
From Irvin. Irvin was the chancellor at the time,
mm-hmm.
where he had written to them, told them that they wanted this land.
Mm-hmm.
Lockfield Garden. They want to knock the land out. They want to go on. I didn't say nothing. I didn't tell nobody. I waited till the meeting, and I told them again what the deal was.
Oh, man, there you go again. Whatever the deal.
So I just kind of passed this letter out to them from Irwin. I got a copy of it, you know, and it's in that thing that I gave you.
Okay.
If you read it, that document that I gave you about development for who?
Okay.
Yeah, you see that letter that's in it? I gave him that letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then right there, they say, oh, see, Lance, there you go again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they decided that they were going to not Lockfield down.
Right.
But, like I said, when they decide how they can use whatever you say you wanted, how they use it against you, who lives in Lockfield? Not black folks.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
I mean, it's there, but it ain't benefiting us.
Right.
You know. Mm-hmm. Same with addicts. When they try to destroy addicts, we stop it from knocking addicts down. Who's gonna be going there in 15 and 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Addicts be probably all white.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a medical magnet school. You have all white folks going there, and all that black history they got up on the wall,
right,
that crap would be wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, man, who said, well, who bought the Y, said, we're going to give a $15,000 scholarship to a student from Attics or whatever the deal is.
Right.
They didn't say we're going to give a $15,000 scholarship to a black student. They said to a student from Attics. Well, who you think going to be at Attics? You know,
right,
going to be white folks.
Mm-hmm.
Who you think going to be teaching at Attics? Going to be white folks.
Mm-hmm.
Attics is gone. What's the name is gone.
Mm-hmm.
This whole neighborhood, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be all IUPUI, man, it's stretching its tentacles everywhere, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this one lady, man, she touched, what's the chancellor's name now, man, that meeting that they had when they were talking about that book.
Mm-hmm.
This lady shook that dude's hand, and she said, oh, Lord, I'm not going to wash my hands. Oh, he shook my hand. He shook my hand. Said, "Lady, this dude."
Who shook her hand? The guy who was the author of Christ or the
The chancellor. I think it was the chancellor was there.
Right.
Man, she
said,
"I'm not going to." Said, "Man, this man took your house."
Mm-hmm.
You know what they said? Most of the people said, "You can't stop progress." That's the essence of the book, man. You can't stop progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Say, shit, all the progress at my expense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why couldn't they move in? Why couldn't they move in here? When I was talking to you earlier, man, about the how we set up the market, the joint ventures, man. I mean, it could have been such a beautiful marriage, but they ain't interested in that. It's greed. White folks want it all. They don't want to share nothing. They want all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got it, you know? And it's spreading, and nothing nobody can do about it. All old North Side, them houses out there up in old North Side,
mm-hmm,
the big old beautiful houses now worth $500,000, some of them damn near $1 million. Black folks used to live there.
Mm-hmm.
They were cut up into apartments. Black folks was living there. When white folks started coming back to the neighborhood, man, they put the black folks out.
Right.
Rebuild them, paint them the way they want to paint, do whatever. Now these houses, man, are worth millions, some of them worth millions.
Right.
Where the black folks at? You ain't even cutting the grass. The Mexicans are cutting the grass. You ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that the WAG fell right into that, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
They said, look, there's IUPUI over there. If we can hook up with IUPUI and get the people from IUPUI who can afford these services that we got,
mm-hmm,
you know, then we can grow and make money.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I knew that was going to work.
Right.
They waited too late. Mm-hmm. Then when the black folks were losing the WAG, mm-hmm, and then they about ready to lose it, and I go to them, and I bring it to them how they can save it. Here it is right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they told me?
Mm-hmm.
We ain't interested in no black Y.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what? Mm-hmm. We're not interested in no black Y anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were the same people, man, who used to call downtown,
mm-hmm,
and tell the white folks, man, we don't like that black stuff old Lance is doing,
right,
over there.
Mm-hmm.
We want our kids to go over there and shoot pool and play table tennis.
Right.
We're not interested in that, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're teaching Swahili. mm-hmm. teaching African dance, mm-hmm. had all kinds of programs, man, that dealt with black folks. You know what we did? Mm-hmm. The camp. What is that camp? The camp at the YS. Flat Rock. Flat Rock. Mm-hmm. I ain't seen no kids at Flat Rock. Mm-hmm. You know what we did? Right. We went at the damn camp.
Okay, right.
We went the whole camp. Okay. I took my own workers, mm-hmm. our own food, mm-hmm. our own cooks.
Right.
We took them, that's what we did. We took them down there, took the kids down there, and some of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
They had to pay nothing.
When was this? Like under your directorship? Yes. Like 70, I don't know. Okay.
About 70. Right. Probably about 73, 70.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right in the hay. Yeah.
Yeah, we took them down there, man. You know, hey, them signs, they got Indians, all the cabins, man, they got Indian names. We took all them signs down. We put African names up there. We put it back when we finished. Put African names out there, man. We wanted the kids to try to develop some pride and respect and the kids and the parents, mm-hmm. man, that was the baddest wire on the planet. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, mm-hmm. When I went to the Bandwire Conference in 1974, and I met with the folks at 74, and I said, man, we're gonna get this conference, man, at mm-hmm. Fall Creek. Mm-hmm. I said, we ain't gonna have it at no damn hotel. Mm-hmm. We're going to have it at the branch, mm-hmm. with something that they ain't never done before.
Okay.
So we they didn't want to, and I told them the speaker's going to be Dr. Ben.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they said? They didn't want Dr. Ben. They wanted the dude from Atlanta, Andrew Young, or they want some politician, whatever it is.
Right.
Said, not today.
Mm-hmm.
No, Dr. Ben's going to be the speaker, mm-hmm. you know. They finally agreed to Dr. Ben.
Right.
Hey, man, look. We set that thing up, mm-hmm. where they didn't have to go no place. Mm-hmm. Had them stay at the Stover's.
Mm-hmm.
We picked them up at the Stover's. I had Mr. Johnson, man. He catered in all the food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. When we brought them to the Y, their behinds didn't leave at all. They couldn't disappear, man. Right. I mean, they had to participate.
Yeah.
Had the kids, we did a lot of, That clay, where you work with that clay, making statues and stuff like African statues and stuff.
Right.
We had mm-hmm. made a head of Jesus Christ, a black Jesus, had him on the table as a centerpiece, you know.
Right.
Hey, mm-hmm. when they stepped into that, brother, when they left out, mm-hmm. I got some of I didn't give you some of the letters that I got from them. They say they ain't never mm-hmm. had that spirit or that. Ever no time. Because I saw people going to hotels, man. You go to a conference, you go to a hotel, you sign in, go to a meeting or whatever it is, man, and then you're gone, man, and you don't come back, man. I said, not this time.
Yeah.
You know, the food was excellent. Mr. Johnson.
1974 conference.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, this is 1975. Mr. Johnson's, Mr. Johnson laid that food out, boy. Right. They ain't never had nothing like that, man, at them conference, boy. I mean, they were so happy.
Right.
You know, and I had some kids, man, who performed for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed this thing called the chicken who eagle,
mm-hmm.
who believed that he was a chicken.
Okay.
To the extent that he could no longer fly.
Mm-hmm.
So these kids did this program, man. You know, they laughed. Mm-hmm. When Dr. Ben took that podium, he mm-hmm. wore their asses out, you know. Mm-hmm. And they apologized, man. I mean, and got down to, I mean, they never seen nothing like that, man.
Right.
The best conference they ever had in the whole, and I'm telling you, man,
mm-hmm.
we had our program together before I knew anything about Bandwire. They was looking at our program, said, this is it, this is the one.
Right.
I didn't even know that dude, Henderson. Yeah. I didn't even know that he was putting that together. I was shocked. Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't know nothing about that. Because
mm-hmm.
I told him, man, don't be putting me in there. That's some great leader. It ain't about me, man. It's about these kids, man. Without these kids,
mm-hmm.
man, I'm just another dude
right.
running their mouth, man. They were the ones, man, who. So no, I was just totally shocked about how they how they did not support what we were doing. But I wasn't surprised because it was happening all over the country. Fall Creek, the Black Wines, all over the country was having the same problems that Fall Creek was having.
Right.
So I got stacks of stuff, man, where YMCAs were closing.
Right.
You know, that I got, man, that I want to show the people, man, that, hey, this is, they didn't want to hear that, man.
Yeah, all the ones that are hooked up to the Metropolitan YMCAs.
It was a bad move.
Yeah, right.
Bad move. Same way with Martin Luther King, man.
Right.
You know, I mean, I, great man. I like Martin, man. But, man, I mean, what he did. Man, we had black businesses all over this country, man. Black hotels, black motels, black restaurants, black this, black that, black this, black this. Man, after he finished, man, there wasn't nothing. They not, you know, they're all gone.
Right.
Once we left, our place to go, look, I don't want nobody to tell me where I can't stay. I don't want nobody to tell me where I can't eat. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll fight like a dog, man, that I can eat or sleep or do whatever it is. But then once I get there, I ain't going there no more. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I can go there if I want to. I'm not interested in going there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, once we left, we never came back.
Right.
Now we ain't got nothing. See, there's nothing, nothing left.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm a this. I'm, hey man, I'm not. I figure that I am.
Right.
Just using common logical sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what's wrong with these kids, man. I know I don't have no problem what's wrong with these kids that's having all these problems. I ain't got no problem what's wrong with them. I know what's wrong with them. You know what's wrong with them?
Mm-hmm.
They represent us. We don't do nothing with them. Their parents don't do nothing with them. That nobody does anything with them. The churches don't do nothing with them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do anything with these kids, man. They just out there on their own.
Right.
You know, these pork chop, chicken eating, chicken sucking, pulpit pimps call themselves preachers, man. What they do is, you put a sign in the ground talking about peace in the streets. You know, stop the killing, stop the this. Man, that ain't nothing. They don't do nothing to help these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why they don't do nothing to help them? Because the kids don't pay no tithes. They don't pay no tithes. There ain't no money in it, you know? So they don't do nothing.
Right.
You deal with the mamas and the daddies, you know, going to heaven on the installment plan.
Right.
But as far as doing, that's nothing, you know?
Wait. I have just one quick question about what you've been, and then I want to discuss kind of your separation from YMCA and whether you were fired or that you quit.
Good.
So we have to go into that.
Beautiful question.
But just the kind of the last question I wanted to ask is, what do you think was more detrimental to the Fall Creek Y? Was it one, like the rifts in the black community, which you've been, you know, thoroughly talking about, like the rifts between middle class blacks and lower class blacks or between ministers and laymen? So was it these rifts in the black community, or was it kind of its relationship with the Metro Y downtown, or was it more of these, you know, kind of state level and national level changes that were going on that were, you know, diminishing the membership base of the Y, like the demolishment of, you know, Lockville Gardens or the close of Lockville Gardens, and the land acquisition process is going on by IUPUI and the State Highway Department, you know, and this, you know, movement towards integration, which really picks up, you know, in the 70s and 80s in Indianapolis.
Desegregation, not integration.
Oh, yeah, desegregation.
We gone.
Excuse me. Right.
You know,
one-way
we was
busing.
Here.
Right.
We say we talk about integration, but we ain't, you know, so it's,
Right, or the one-way, so one-way busing that goes into effect after Judge S. Hugh Dillon's rule in 1971.
Right.
So, and so it's all these things that were happening around Fall Creek and to Fall Creek, so it was more detrimental. Was it these rifts in the black community or the relationship with Metro Y or just kind of these national and state changes that were going on that diminished Fall Creek's membership base, which was more detrimental, which led to, you know, its decline, really, or which really affected it more, or affected your directorship while you were there?
Well, you know, which one do you want to talk about first?
Just what was more detrimental, like the rifts in the black community or like your relationship with Metro Y?
It's all intertwined.
Okay.
It's not one.
Right.
It's not one.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the biggest mistake they made is hooking up with Metro.
Okay, so that's their biggest mistake.
They should have never hooked up with them. You know, I mean, they raised the money.
Right.
You know, they got the money to build what they wanted to do. They raised the money to do it. You know, they got the matching funds or whatever it is to do it. Man, they should have stayed in it because they knew what they wanted.
Right.
the Metropolitan wasn't about this, that they were talking, that Fabian DeFance was talking about social welfare company, you know, they wasn't about that, so what are you gonna hook up with them for?
Right.
You know, so when they did that, you know, I mean, and then, I mean, that was fine for a strategy, but then they got into a thing themselves between the laymen and the ministers. Mm-hmm. You know, who's gonna run it? Right. We got a big old new building here, man, whatever it is, you know, we big time. The ministers are saying, you know, they wanna evangelize, because that's what they were doing.
Right.
They were mostly evangelizing. Mm-hmm. Then the laymen say, well, no, we want a, you know, social welfare agency, we're gonna be able to help people, the blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So that was a conflict. Mm-hmm. And see, when you, man, when you accept the fact that you were giving your land and your property to somebody who ain't bought it from you, you know, just to be a part, just to be a part of their organization, man, you're giving up all of your goodies,
right.
You know, and that's why it's so easy for the wife to just be sold and knocked down or whatever deal. And people talking about, how'd you do that?
Oh, good, yeah.
She is here.
How about that? Man. I know, mine's just like it, so I can, okay. Right. That's
exactly. No, but I'm saying, no, it was, it's all of it.
Right.
It's all of it.
But
the bottom line, if you want to know it, you want to know what the real problem is, the bottom line is white folks greed. They're greedy. They want it all. They don't want to share. You know, they look at this over here, man, they see a mecca for white folks. They don't see nothing for black folks.
So you're talking about IUPUI's land acquisition.
No, it's all, no, I say it's all intertwined. I mean, there's no separation. You can't separate the wire from what's going on over here. It's all a part of it.
Right.
And then white folks down there in Metro, they run that. I mean, you know, they determined. They wanted to determine what Fall Creek did.
Now, about Metro, in the letter addressed to you by Wilson, that was dated August 1971, he stated that, quote, you would be granted a free hand to run the Y as you see fit, close quote. So did the Metro Y, while you were director, did they give you this green light to run the Y as you saw fit?
They couldn't give me nothing. Whatever I got, I took it. They couldn't give me nothing down in Metro. I didn't ask them for shit. I mean, I didn't ask them for nothing.
Yeah.
No, but here's what happened.
Right.
When I got tired of fighting with Metro, and when my board was not doing what I thought they should be doing, we had a meeting and I told them, I said, look, if this is what you guys are gonna do, if we're not gonna take care of this business or whatever, say I'm resigning, I'm tired.
Right. Okay.
You know, say I'm quitting, I'm fed up, man. I said, because it's useless if you got
right.
So somebody on that board went downtown and told Metro that I said I was going to resign.
Right, so I just want to give kind of a quick, in a 1979 Recorder article titled Fall Creek YMCA Country Club for IUPUI or Gathering Place for Black Community, the article states that there was a disagreement over whether the Metro Y fired you, or whether you resigned, or whether they fired you. So it was a disagreement over, like, you said they fired you, they said that you resigned. So happened?
Well, yeah, I'm getting, I'm telling you.
Okay, exactly.
When I told them, and when they went downtown and told the folks, man, I said I was going to resign.
Right.
Well, when I went downtown for a meeting, the executive director said, well, hey, Lance, I heard you say you was going to resign.
Right.
I said, hey, when I get ready to resign, you'll be the first one to know. You know,
right.
So nothing happened.
Right.
So, but they were still trying to force this country club, this thing.
Right.
So we fight that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that at a what do you call that? The Y, it's all the Y, when the Y meets everybody.
Like the National Association of Y.
Yeah, when they met, you know, they had their annual meeting.
Yeah, okay.
The annual meeting at the Y, man, when it's supposed to be fun and you know, all kinds of fun and stuff, man.
Right.
They decided they were going to fire me. My board chairman heard about it.
Right, and he was Roderick Bohannon.
Right.
Okay.
Right, so he went to the meeting. And he, you know, said no. So what they did is they said that they were going to fire me, okay? Right. So my board called a meeting with me and told me, said, well, look, say, we support you.
Right.
You know, we stand behind you.
This is in 1979.
Yeah.
Before,
yeah,
so
I told him, I said, what do you mean you support me?
Right.
You know? Say, as far as I'm concerned, them folks downtown, they can fire me if they want to. But, you know, I say, what are you talking about? You support me? I say, I'm staying here because I'm supporting you. You're the one who put in that letter, man, that you were the only one that was could fire me or whatever it is. I'm staying here for you. I stayed there for almost almost 2 years.
After that they accepted your resignation?
I never resigned.
Right, you never
resigned. They said that they fired me. So,
right, yeah.
So I stayed there for almost, you saw the newspaper where they said that.
Right.
So I said, I told the board, I'm staying here because you said that you were the only one that could fire me. So I'm staying here because of you.
Were you paid those 2 years after?
Not one penny, man.
Not one penny. Oh.
Nothing. I mean, I stayed here all that time, about almost a year and a half.
Right.
No paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed at the Y, you know. Now what happened is that eventually I told him, I'm finished.
Right.
Yeah, I'm through with it.
Right.
So I told, I want my money, so I got a lawyer.
Yeah, right.
First I got a black lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
The black lawyer sued, sued Metro.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't sue Fall Creek.
Right.
I mean, you gotta sue both. I mean, you can't sue just
right.
you know, Metro, yeah, you know, so they had to sue both.
Right.
So then the lawyer that I had been working with Al Market,
right.
said Steele.
Mm-hmm.
He took the case.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually decided to pay, but man, I mean, to work for a year and a half,
right,
and no paycheck.
Mm-hmm. So after you were fired, you still came to,
I'm saying they didn't fire me. Remember,
the
only person that could fire me was
my
board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they didn't fire you.
No,
I just decided
yeah. that, hey man,
right.
hey, mm-hmm. I ain't making no money.
Right.
You know, and they don't. Not one person came to me and said, look, I know you got a family. Yo, here's $10, man, to buy your kids something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I know you got here's $5 to pay, to, you know, do so and so and so with.
Right.
Paying off for nothing, man. I'm there working and ain't getting no money.
Right.
I left to go to, this was 74.
Mm-hmm.
I left to go to that Bandwide conference.
Right.
When I came back,
mm-hmm.
I had a lock on my door.
Mm-hmm.
The door was locked. They had Metro had come and locked the door.
To your office.
To my office.
At Fall Creek.
Yeah,
right.
So I just kindly kicked the door in.
Mm-hmm.
I went in my office. I called downtown and I told them.
Mm-hmm.
I says, I'm in my office.
Mm-hmm.
If you won't come down and put a lock on the door, don't be a damn coward. Come down and put it on while I'm sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, I decided that I had enough.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so I just said, I quit, just give me my money.
Right.
You know, I could ask for my, if I had really accepted them firing me, I could have, when they first said, I could have just said, well, you just pay me my money
right.
and I'm gone.
Exactly.
But I stayed there because of what that letter said.
Right.
And when I saw what they didn't.
In the letter that Theodore Wilson had.
Yeah, well,
he said you were only reporting to the board, not to Metro, he said in the letter. That you were only reporting to the board.
And that they hired me and that they were the only one could fire me, so that was cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I stayed there to support them. So that's what the deal was.
Right.
I mean, and when I about time I got that little piece of change.
Mm-hmm.
Also for the whole man, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's
right.
Yeah.
I mean, so in the same 1979 Recorder article, you are quoted as saying, I'm going to quote you, I'm trying to make this a Y. They want to make it a country club to serve IUPUI. So they could mean the Metropolitan Y or the Indianapolis Metropolitan Plan Commission, which facilitated citywide revitalization. So it could mean any of these different groups. And I think that your words were really prophetic, since the Fall Creek building was demolished, you know, 2 years ago to build the avenue. So I want to know, what was your fundamental vision for Fall Creek and its surrounding community that wasn't shared by Metro or by the city? What was your vision for what Fall Creek and the community?
Well, remember what I told you. Remember what I told you now.
Right.
They wanted
right.
Fall Creek to become a fitness center.
Right.
And that's what I call a poor man's country club. That's what I call all them YMCAs. They're poor man's country clubs.
Right.
They can't afford the money to go to them, to the country club, but you can afford to pay a membership to get on
right.
the machines and up and down.
Yeah.
Know, well, I wasn't in that. I gave you a list of the type of programs. That's what I wanted.
Right.
We were the, what I consider to be the mouthpiece of Indianapolis. Fall Creek was where everything was happening at.
Right.
I mean, anything that went on in the city, man, we was involved in it.
Right.
And we were involved in educating, doing things in order to help the kids build self-esteem.
Right.
I'm telling you, man, that you would think that the Metropolitan would have looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
Says, What organizations that we have?
Mm-hmm.
Says Young Men's Christian Association. Say Christian. That's Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
Christ help people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. Like the article say, that's not the why. That article that Ron Henderson wrote,
right.
we had the why.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know what they had downtown, but we the one that ran the Y, we had a YMCA.
Right.
Our YMCA was helping people. That's what a Christian organization is supposed to do, supposed to help people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't afford to pay, then damn, you help them anyway. You find some way to get the money to help the people that need to be helped. That's what we were doing.
Right.
That's what we wanted to do.
Right.
You know? And when anything came up, we dealt with it. I don't care what it was, man, we dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we had wanted to continue to do. But what we needed more than anything was to expand.
Mm-hmm.
Fall Creek was too small for what we were doing.
Right.
Kids were coming all out the woodwork.
Mm-hmm.
People was coming out, we had programs. I mean, it was, hey.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at Metro, they didn't see that. Because what they saw was, if we can focus in on IUPUI,
mm-hmm.
if we get the people in IUPUI coming and buying members and stuff, it will replace us.
Right.
See, you know, the people that would have been replaced, and they would have been fine over there, you know. I told them, IUPUI, they don't need to come over to no damn Y. They got swimming pool over there.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to come over there for no fitness program. They got all the fitness stuff over there. They don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
what, I mean, they don't need that. You're trying to entice people to do it. So that's really what the bottom line would happen, man. That's what killed it, man. They wanted one thing, we wanted something else.
Right.
Black folks chose what they said,
mm-hmm.
and the Y went kapoom.
Mm-hmm.
If they had stayed with what we had said, we'd have been an independent YMCA,
right.
doing what we've been doing, raising our own money,
mm-hmm.
you know, getting government programs or whatever it is to do whatever. That's what we'd have been doing.
Right.
But that's not what they wanted, man. They decide, mm-hmm. like most of our people do, man. Hey, once you start making a little piece of change,
right.
you know. You just don't figure, man. It's like going to a black, buying food at a black grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, hey, the white man's bread is fresher than black man's bread. But man, he brought the same bread the same day, the same, you know. His ice is colder than that, you know.
Right.
But that's the mentality
right.
that we have. And I understand it.
Right.
I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it. But we couldn't stop it.
Right.
You know. And then when they swooped in here, you had the mayor's office,
mm-hmm.
the Chamber of Commerce,
mm-hmm.
F.C. Tucker and all the real estate people,
right.
IUPUI, you got all these organizations, man, looking, man, just saying, hey, look, this is a mecca.
Mm-hmm.
They dream about the Super Bowl and all this other stuff, man. They doing all kinds of stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't stop that, man. You tried to put yourself in a position, man, where you could be a part of it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what happened, man. They just killed it dead.
Mm-hmm.
Just killed it dead. And the why is tremendously to blame about, because there's nothing Christian about the YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
They're capitalists. Something, man, that don't give a damn about nobody unless you got some damn money.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got no money, that's it. Now they get a little specialized program. They're talking about a YMCA for the black folks, a YMCA without walls.
Yeah, you're
talking about a damn.
Right.
Hell, the YMCA without walls.
Right.
You know, that means you ain't got no damn building. But if I can get some money from the government to do a special program for you, I still can make some money off of you.
Mm-hmm.
But I really ain't doing nothing to help you. Man, you ain't even got no place where you can have a meeting.
Right.
If you need to have a meeting at the Y, anytime anybody wants to have a meeting, mm-hmm. they can have a meeting. They ain't to pay.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't charge nobody to have no meetings or nothing at the Y.
Right.
You know, they would want me to pay. They got pissed off because mm-hmm. a black school, they closed their building.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Smith, with his school, he had a beautiful school, man.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, come on to the Y. You can keep have your school over here.
To move his school.
Move his school there until you find a place.
Right.
You know, I ain't charging no damn money. What am I charging some money for?
Right.
You know, he's struggling, you know, trying to run the school. I said, move it here. You can have
it here. What kind of school? What kind of?
School.
Just,
okay. Hey, I tell you what, you know what kind of school they had?
Right.
You, when you graduate from his school, when you go to public school, you go 2 grades ahead.
Man,
my kids, some of my kids went to school there, man. My kids graduated from college, man, at 17 years old. They were too young to graduate,
mm-hmm.
you know? But most of the kids he had, man, mm-hmm. and you know what he had?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people who taught there, they weren't even no teachers. They didn't have no certificates.
Right.
He had a program that all you had to do was follow his program. Right. And hey, man.
His name was Reverend, what's it?
Reverend Eric Smith.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's dead now. You
right.
know, he died, he had cancer.
Right.
You know, and he believed so much in God, man, until he said the Lord was going to heal him. You know, matter of fact, he went to Oral Roberts, and the Roberts told him that he was going to be healed. Man, he sat there with that leg swelling up.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally decided that he was going to do something about it, doctor said he couldn't cut on it. He said, if we cut on that, man, it's going to spread through your body. So he ended up, you know why he didn't get his leg operated on? He said, because God don't want no one-legged person. That's what he believed.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up dying. And his son ran the school for a long time.
Okay.
You know, they moved in out that Roach's Church out there on 38th and something out there.
How long was he at Fall Creek?
Probably about 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
And they were pushing me to charge him, man. You need to charge for that, man.
Right.
Charge for what? I mean, damn, you know?
Right.
I mean, you ain't got to charge for everything. But that was the problem, man.
Mm-hmm.
One organization was about strictly about capitalist money. Do whatever you can.
Right.
I was so sad because I didn't go into the Y for a long time. But when I went there
mm-hmm.
and saw how they had put all the equipment in there,
right.
man.
Yeah.
We had the Checker Club. We used to play down on the Avenue, you know. So I moved them to the Y.
Mm-hmm.
I let them put their brand. Hey man, they had national meets. At the YMCA, I mean, I thought chess was a game.
Okay.
Man, chess ain't nothing. Checkers, you talking about a game? Man, I would try to play those guys. Man, they just laugh at me, man. Hey, I make 3 moves,
yeah.
And you know what they tell me? Lance, the game's over.
I was gonna say they had you.
Yeah,
at the end of 3 moves.
Yeah, they tell me, say the game is over.
Yeah.
I said, hey, what are you talking about, man? I'm just, hey, man, do like this. Give me 2. Give me 3. Give me so and so, so and so. Next thing I know, bam, boom, bam, bam, bam. Dang. But but I'm just saying that I charge them nothing for that.
Right.
That's what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got kids coming around looking, watching them old dudes, man, play checkers and stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Billiards. I don't know about no billiards, but the
right.
old dudes were coming there at some shooting billiards and stuff, man. They was enjoying themselves, man.
Right.
And they won't take that away from them and put all that fitness equipment in there, man. I said, man, that
mm-hmm.
and that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, No, everybody is to blame, but right. more than all, Metro is to blame, man, because they didn't have to do what they did.
Right.
I mean, they could have supported it. They could have helped it. They could have said, man, hey, look,
right.
this is one of our organizations that is doing what you know, doing what it should be doing, you
right.
know. And if they want to make them other business, you know, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, that's fine with me if that's what you want.
Right.
But no, it was, no, it,
right.
it's unfortunate. But the thing that gets me most, bottom line is, mm-hmm. black folks paid for that building.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't got one penny. Other than them selling it, mm-hmm. they paid for it. Mm-hmm. And they should be demanding that Metro build them another bill. Not that they build one and to give that Metro build another bill. They should be demanding that,
mm-hmm.
but they're not. You
right.
know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they got it, they'd do the same damn thing with it as they did before, man. Have that, try to have that middle class mentality, man, not deal with the people who needs the Y.
Mm-hmm.
Not the people who want to have one, but the people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
The people we had, man, they needed the Y. They didn't have nothing else. They needed that.
Right.
And they took it away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. IUPUI, man, I'd be so uncomfortable. You don't know how comfortable I am, man, when I come over here, man. I mean, it's so, you know, like, you know, you, I mean, how can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Bill says, it's about business. It's about money.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ain't got no money. Get the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Hall bill, just a matter of time. It's gonna be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be gone. You think they're gonna let Hall bill laying around the way that it is around IUPUI? It's gonna be gone. You think I can tell people
mm-hmm.
and Hall bill that's gonna be gone in a fair times?
Oh man, come on, man. Look, mm-hmm. look here, dude. We got these houses. What?
No, brother, it's gonna be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna be here.
Right.
So it ain't just the why. It ain't just a Y. It's IUPUI.
Right.
You know what they do here?
Right.
They got a few people, man, who's supposed to be, they hire
mm-hmm.
to be, study the black community and
mm-hmm.
so on. You know what I tell them? Shit, I don't need you don't need no money to study the black community. How much money you think you get to study the white community?
Mm-hmm.
To figure out why they do certain things they do, man. You know about black folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know who we are. We gonna study black folks. You don't need to study us no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the deal is. We train sales, you know, so see how much money you can get from Lillis or somebody else to study white folks. Say, I want to get a grant to study white folks. You know what you ask them to do? You end up with one of them straight jackets, you know, in one some place, you know, say something
right.
wrong with this dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
Get him out of here.
Right.
So, you know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to do, you know, like, you don't have to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just here. This is all over.
Right.
All
the other black YMCAs
yeah.
across the nation.
And they're just the black YMCAs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, look what they're doing
yeah.
to the schools.
Right, black neighborhoods.
Yeah, look at that. Look how they took
right.
over the schools.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I told them? Dude, one time, hey, man, we got need. We put together a program, man, to teach black history in the school. And I said, man, I don't
right.
want the white folks teaching me no black. Why are the white folks going to teach me about my history?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
They might be sincere as they want to. Man, they can't teach me about my history.
Right.
How you going to... Hey, they're not gonna be able to teach me how to take what they got. You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to get some of what they got. They ain't gonna teach me how to take it. They ain't gonna teach me how to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's a sad situation. But what I hope is,
mm-hmm.
and the reason why I gave you guys
right.
some information
mm-hmm.
is that the other black folks that you interview
mm-hmm.
that. You don't just take the fact that they, this is what they say,
mm-hmm.
but that when they make a statement, that they at least try to give you some empirical data to back it up,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said, I share whatever I have, man, so you can,
right,
you know, so,
thank you.
So you can ask them some questions,
the
man.
Questions.
You know,
right.
so they don't just give you opinions and, you know, what I right. think, you know, so I tell them opinions like buttholes, man, everybody's got
mm-hmm.
one, you know, that opinion, that don't mean nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but,
mm-hmm.
I know I don't expect anything to come out of it,
mm-hmm.
but at least It's almost like getting some stuff off your chest, man, to at least for somebody, man, to know what actually happened. Not what I said that happened. Mm-hmm. But hey, you can check all the stuff out, man. You can see what happened.
You see what actually happened.
Yeah, you can see what actually happened, man. And you can't refute that. Mm-hmm. I just hope, like I was saying to myself, man, mm-hmm. I was questioning mm-hmm. in my mind, say, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
Are these dudes gonna bite the hand that feeds them?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, are you gonna tell it like it is, like the facts are?
Right. Well, that's what this interview was just about, you being able to tell what actually happened. And we've been talking just a little bit over 2 hours. So I'm going to go ahead and just bring, do you have the interview?
You know what? We're going to have to give the dean back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
to a close.
Okay.
But thank you so much, Mr. Lee.
No, anytime you want to talk about it,